of Scripture, because this is going to be a parallel passage in the Bible. They're all in the Gospels, and we're going to be looking at a message I've entitled, Downward Steps to Denial. Downward Steps to Denial. If you'll take your Bible, please turn to Luke 22. Now, if you want, you can go ahead and just kind of get ready to go to the other places, because we're going to read those, just so we get a good view. You know, some people ask why the Gospels are written the way that they are.
You know, if you're at an intersection and an accident happens in front of you, if you're facing north, you're going to see it different than the person that was facing south. And if you're facing east, you're going to see it different than the person facing west. And so each Gospel writer gives their own glimpse into what they saw or what they heard. And so Luke 22, Matthew 26, John 18, and Mark 14. These are all right at the end of the books. They're in the Gospels. We're going to start with Luke, and I purposely did this in this specific order. Luke 22. So we're going to read there first. This is a horrible passage of Scripture when we look at the truth. Because what it takes place here is Peter denies his Lord. Not once, not twice, but as the Bible says, thrice. And we want to ask, how could he do this, or why did he do this? And we may have our suppositions, but we want to turn to the Scriptures to see why this happened. And so after we read these passages, we're going to then look a little more in depth at why this took place. Because Peter was somebody special. Peter was a leader. Peter was very outspoken. Whenever we hear of Peter, oftentimes it's connected with James and John. Peter, James, and John. You know the song, Peter, James, and John? We're in sailboat. He was the leader of those three all the time. And they were always together. And they were always on the inner circle, as we might say, with Jesus. And somebody that close to his Lord, somebody that experienced all that he experienced, to even be told what he was going to do, to follow through and do it, we ought to take heed to ourselves, lest we also fall. So let's first start in Luke 22. We'll look at verses 54 through 62. So everyone kind of knows where we're going. We're here at the end of the gospel story. Jesus is about to be betrayed. Well, I'm sorry, he's been betrayed. Peter will now deny him. Luke 22, starting in verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." It's interesting. Hey, listen, Christian. People will know. You're one of them. We're going to bring that out a little later. Okay. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so when we read these things, we need to stop and understand. Let's just not read them, but take yourself into this passage of Scripture here. Thou art also of them. She identified him as somebody. And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now let's turn to Matthew. Matthew 26. Again, I specifically picked this order that we're going to read. Matthew 26. We'll start in verse 69. Now again, it's going to sound very familiar to what we just read, but we're going to get another angle, another glimpse here, another facet of this truth. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Hey, listen, the way you're talking, you don't sound like us. You're different. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now let's go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. This is a very important passage of Scripture because we're finding it in all of the Gospels. Sometimes we only get one passage in one of the Gospels, but when you have them in all four, let's study it out. Let's look at these passages. John chapter 18. Let's start in verse 15. John 18 and verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. You see what we're, hopefully you're kind of catching a glimpse already. Peter, you stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. Not only the way you look, but the way you talk and the way you act. Peter, you're one of his disciples. He saith, I am not. Verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. Okay, so the passage goes on. We get a little glimpse here of what's taking place with Jesus. But let's go back to now to catch up with Peter, because Peter's still here, verse 25. He's still warming himself by the fire here. Verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Okay, last place, the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Mark 14, and let's start in verse 66. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. He got a little too warm in there. He's like, wait a second. I better get out of here. He went out into the porch and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. So, hopefully, by looking at each passage by itself, we got just a little more into the story here. We got a little better understanding of what Peter is thinking, what he's going through, where he's at, what the other people are seeing and hearing. This had to be a spiritual low point in the life of Peter. As we look on Peter's life, we see the end from the beginning. We can read the story, and hopefully we don't, when we think of Peter, we don't stop and think of this passage, but that might happen. Oftentimes, well-known Bible characters, individuals such as David, are known for not being necessarily the sweet psalmist of Israel, but the one that sinned with Bathsheba. Here, Peter is not the one that went out walking on the water, but he was the one that denied his Lord. If this one thing maybe he could take back or remove, it surely would be this point in his life. But here is another divine testimony to the inspiration of Scripture, that man did not write this, because man would not include his low points in his book. Many great men in the Bible have committed grievous sins. And when we read about these, what is our response to them? Do we stop and say, "Well, not me. I'd never do that." Oh, you wouldn't? How do you know? We need to take heed, the Bible says, lest we fall. Or our response could be, well, we could receive instruction from it and we can learn from it, because the Bible teaches not only by precept, but by precedent and principle. And we see here in the Scriptures what happened to Peter. And we can learn from it. By examining this passage in light of what has transpired before his denial, we should get a better understanding why this happened in the life of Peter and learn from it so that we don't do it ourselves. Or we don't have the same attitude coming into a situation such as Peter then found himself. So we can learn from it, amen? Peter's fall was not recorded in vain, but that we may learn how we too can have victory over our sin, amen? So, first and foremost, let's go back to the book of Luke. That's where we started, the passage in Luke, Luke 22. Here in Luke 22, we're going to see something here. Our first point, number one, is Peter was full of self. Peter was full of self. Now, you understand what I'm saying when I bring this point out. Peter was full of self. Read this verse with me here, Luke 22. Look here in verse 33. Verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Oh, are you, Peter? No. "Smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter," and that's what took place. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Here Jesus is telling you, Peter, listen, Satan's desiring to sift you as wheat. "I'm okay, Lord. I'm ready for it." Jesus just told Peter that he prayed for him, and Peter's response was like, "Hey, thanks, Jesus, but my faith's pretty strong today." Peter thought he could handle it. Sometimes we find ourselves full of ourselves when we think we can handle things that maybe are a little too much for us to handle. Maybe we need a little more of God's help. Maybe we need a little more of His prayers. Now, keep your place there, but turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I quoted a little bit of this verse here, but look at what this says. This is that passage, and it's an easy one to try to remember, 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, because, again, we're wanting to learn from the Scriptures. We're wanting to pull things out, and the Bible says in chapter 10 and verse 11, after it gives some instruction of what happened to the children of Israel, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Just as the children of Israel thought that they could stand, that they weren't taking heed to God's instruction, and what happened? They fell. And here Peter, now he's not taking heed to his Lord's instruction, and he does exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. He's going to fall. Galatians 6:3 says, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Too often times we think we can handle things that are maybe out of our realm. Peter thought he knew what he would do, but we don't know what we'll do until we walk in that shoe. And you don't know what you would do either. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3 that we are to place no confidence in the flesh. And when I use this point here, I say Peter was full of self. What I'm saying is he was trusting in himself. He was not, what does the Bible say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own wisdom. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Nothing is more odious to God than one that is self-confident. But yet Peter was placing confidence in himself, and he fell. "God resisteth the proud," the Bible says, "but giveth grace to the humble. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase," the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4. What does it say about the preacher in 1 Timothy 3:6? "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Isn't this what happened to Peter? "Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat." "I'm okay, Lord. I'm ready to go to death. I'll go to prison." But you know what? At the first sign, they all fled. They forsook him, the Bible said. And now, Peter, you're denying him. We must understand that we are weak individuals, and we must always be dependent upon our Lord and not think too highly of ourselves. We are to be dependent, not independent. We're independent Baptists, amen, but we're dependent upon our Lord. "I need thee every hour," the songwriter says. Peter soon found out how faithful he would be. He soon found out what walking in the flesh is like. The sad part is he was warned. Jesus even told him what he would do. And he fell. This is where we come to point number two. Number one was Peter was full of self. Number two, Peter forsook the warning. Look here in Luke 22. Again, where we were. Luke 22, and look here in verse 34. Well, verse 31, again, we'll start. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Peter, Satan's out to sift you as wheat. He wants to separate you. He wants to test your genuineness. He wants to see what you're made of. He's seeking whom he may devour. And Peter, he's locked on you because of Peter's position, because of his influence. The devil wanted him. Peter, you're not aware of the danger that lies ahead. Yet how many of us forsake clear warnings from the Scriptures? We have a book that's full of warnings, amen? And yet, sometimes we just turn a deaf ear to them. But the prudent man, the Bible says, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. How many do not take heed to the word? Turn with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. You can keep your place there in the New Testament, but let's go to Proverbs 29. You see, this Bible, it says of itself that the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction. Jesus was gently reproving Peter with some instruction, saying, this is what's going to happen, Peter. But yet, he just turned a deaf ear. What does it say in Proverbs 29? Proverbs 29 in verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeth in his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The children of Israel, God said of them that they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears. They didn't want to hear the reproofs. They didn't want to hear the instruction. And you know what? They would fall. And then they'd realize they were in bondage, and they'd cry out. God would send them a Savior. God would send them a judge. God would send them a prophet, somebody that would tell them what to do and how to repent and how to get right with God. And then they'd get rid of their idols, and then the vicious circle would start over, because then they'd start trusting in themselves again, and they'd get strong in themselves. And then what happens? Then they forget God. And you know what? We can do this too. As that song goes, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long has it been? Are we that confident that we can go the day without being dependent upon Him? Are we that confident that we can miss the services that we may miss for whatever it may be that we have that's pressing at the moment? Take heed lest you fall. Let's go to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What does the Bible say here? Here's another warning for us. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, and you ask, well, what's it there for? In chapter 1, he talks about Jesus being so much better than these other things, and those that would perish, that would not turn, making his enemies his footstool, just about the word that was spoken. Okay, so then he says, therefore, because of this, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And you know what? When it comes to us as Christian individuals, it's not like we just turn just one day just like that. It's that word picture there of let them slip is it's like a boat that's just drifting away from the dock. It doesn't immediately just zoom away from the dock. No, it just slowly drifts. It's close, and then it gets a little further away, and then just a little further away, and just a little further away. And we let these things slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen, we have the word. The word has been given to us. The word is warning us, and we are not to forsake the warnings found in the Scriptures. Turn to 2 Peter, one more place, and then we'll move on. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well. Okay? I want to do well. You want to do well. That ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Listen, we have that lamp. We have that light right here in the Scriptures to show us the way, to warn us of the impending dangers that lie ahead. And let's take heed, or else, you know what? We're just going to let these things slip. And then we find ourselves in where Peter finds himself, in this downward step of denial. He started by being full of self. And then he's forsaking the warning. Listen, harden not your heart, amen. You've been warned. Harden not your heart. What's next? Go back to Luke 22. Go back to the book of Luke. What do we see? Thirdly, we see Peter failed to pray. So he was full of self, he forsook the warning, and he failed to pray. That doesn't look like it's a good thing that's going to happen if we follow that same path. Peter, and you may recall this passage of Scripture, he was sleeping when he was supposed to be supplicating. Luke 22, look here in verse 40. Or verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now this is Jesus. This is when he goes to the garden. This is when he's going to go. He's going to be praying in agony. Verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Does that sound like a suggestion? Or maybe more of a command? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto an angel him from heaven, strengthening him. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was being strengthened as he prayed that he would submit his will to the Father's will. But what was Peter doing? And probably James and John. Look here, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The second time Jesus said, is not that part of the model prayer, amen? Lead us not into temptation. Pray. Why pray? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. We're not fully equipping ourselves for the battle that lies ahead because we're not in prayer. Because we're full of self, we don't think we need to pray. We've forsaken the warnings. We're not in the Scriptures, so we're not taking heed to what it says about praying. So why am I going to bow down and pray? That takes work, does it not? Is it not the simplest things in the Christian life are the hardest things to do? Reading and studying your Bible. Praying. Giving. Attending. Witnessing. Why is it? You see, the easiest things to do are also the hardest things to do. Is your heart in it tonight? You see, prayer is our weapon, and without prayer there is no protection. Ephesians 6:18, when he talks about all this armor, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the sword of the Spirit, and the girdle of truth, and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says in verse 18 at the end, and praying always. Don't forget that part, amen. We are to watch. He said there, to pray, to be prepared when temptation comes, because we've already been warned that it could come. Are we going to see it when it comes? Prayer demonstrates a dependence upon God. We were to pray to not enter into temptation. Peter failed to pray and found himself in temptation. Again, the model prayer, Matthew 6. and lead us not into temptation. God was faithful, amen, as he always is, because with every temptation, he does what? He makes a way to what? Escape. Remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 10:11? Well, 10:11, 12, well, 13 is that special verse that says that no temptation hath taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may not be tempted above that which you are able. Hey, Peter, you've already been warned. Hey, Peter, it's coming. Hey, Peter, other people are pointing you out. They see you. They hear you. God was faithful, amen. He gave Peter an escape. Each time he gave Peter an escape, Peter could have said, you know what, you're right. I am one of them. You know what? Yeah, I do talk like one of them. I do look like one of them because I am one of them. A Christian, amen. Yet, Peter failed. Listen, Christian, let's not fail to pray, amen. Let's get a hold of God and strengthen the inner man and pray always and pray without ceasing and pray fervently and pray believing. These are all commands in the scriptures for us. But are we taking heed to the warnings? You see, Peter failed to pray and then found himself in temptation. God gave him a way of escape, but he was full of self. He failed to take heed to the warning. He failed to pray. And what happened? But there's more. This passage is so rich. Luke 22, let's move on to point number 4. What else? Peter followed afar off. Peter followed, yes. And you know what? Some are following tonight. But we're following afar off. Whenever I hear that, I was such a punk kid when I was growing up. I didn't grow up in church, and my father and mother divorced when I was 6, and my dad passed away when I was 12. But I remember, and I think about my kids now, and I'm wondering if they would ever do this to me. But we would go to the mall or something, and I'd go with my mom, and I would follow her afar off because I didn't want to be seen with her. Because I was too cool, you know, as a young boy, to be seen with my mother. And I think of that when I think of Peter here, because it says Peter followed afar off. He wasn't close to his Lord. This is very interesting. Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. I'm ready to go to prison with you, Jesus. I'm ready to go die with you, Jesus. But maybe not right now. I'm going to keep my distance from you because those guards, they got you, and I don't want none of this right now. Following afar off simply means he was just not close to him. And you know what? When our eyes are not focused on the prize, we can be led astray. We can follow afar off. The author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to keep our eyes on him. And Peter should know this because remember when he went and walked out on the water? He walked on the water, amen. But what do we remember? He sank. Why? Because when he turned, he saw the winds and the waves boisterous, and he began to sink. Because he took his eyes off Christ. And you know what? Some of us tonight, we're following afar off because we've taken our eyes off Christ. And it's kind of a dim blur now. And it's like, yeah, I understand some of these things and I believe some of these things and I'm going through the motions here. But you know what? I've failed to pray. I haven't taken heed to the warning. I'm full of myself. That's probably why I'm following afar off. Following Jesus afar off, the Christian will find himself very cold spiritually. Oh, interesting. That's why Peter went and warmed himself by the fire. But those weren't Christians there. He had to warm himself by the world's fire. It's like, listen, Christian, I cook with propane. I like using propane because it's real fast and you cook real quick. Coal takes time, does it not? If you got to lay out all those coals and you got to keep them all together and they got to get real hot. But you know what happens to those coals that are all the way out over on the side? They don't get white. They don't get hot. because they're not together. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. Did not Jesus say that? In some of us, we might have been hot at one point, but we've kind of stumbled off that and we're following afar off, and Jesus isn't as important as he used to be, and now we're cold spiritually. Hey, listen, we're going to want to warm up somewhere. He went and warmed himself by the fire of the world. You see, following Jesus afar off, the Christian finds himself in the wrong company, sitting with the wrong people, talking about the wrong things, being entertained by the wrong things, and so on and so forth. I mean, just you can take it in that direction. It happens very fast. You miss a service here, you miss a service there. You don't read your Bible, you're not praying, and you know what? You're becoming cold spiritually, and you're going to want to warm up somehow. And so now you're warming up to the people of the world instead of the people of the Word. And what's happening all the while? You're drifting further and further and further away. Evil communication corrupts good manners, the Bible says, and that's what has happened. Evil communication corrupts good manners. What happened? Peter, after spending so much time around that fire and with those people, now you're starting to curse and swear. I would have never thought I'd say something like that. Well, it's the people I work with. Well, it's the people that I'm around. Maybe I need to find some new folks. You see, following Jesus afar off, the Christian finds himself compromising. Peter is now lying and he's cursing. And he keeps moving further and further away. He was in the palace, and then he was in the porch. And now where is he? He's out in the pits, and he's weeping bitterly because of what took place. And that's the only thing that'll happen, Christian, when we follow this path. It's a downward path of destruction. Peter, you can't hang around the world's crowd. Christian, you can't. And deny your Lord, because listen, hey, see, you're a Christian, remember? So you know that some of the things they're doing is wrong, and so you won't get fully engaged. And they know who you are, and they know what you believe, because you might have said some things before. Are you maintaining your testimony? Your speech bereath thee. Your speech agreeth thereto. You sound like one of them Christians. You look like one of them Christians. You act like one of them Christians. You were with Jesus, weren't you? Listen, Christian. If you're a Christian, let them know, amen? Peter, why are you denying Christ? You're a Christian. Peter, that's your Lord that they've just taken. You're following afar off. You're full of self. You forgot to pray. All those things, amen? Peter, what's happened? Hey, maybe the first time something like that slips, it might happen. But the second time, hey, listen, I got to get out of here. The third time, woe is me. Peter, woe is you. Three strikes, you're out. Listen, Christian, you got to separate yourself from the people of the world. You got to hang around the people of the Word, amen? The interesting thing here is the whole temptation was over before Peter even really knew what happened. Because he was just being led along. And you know what? That's what happens. We just kind of get led along. We're full of self. We're forgetting to pray. We're forsaking the warning. We're following afar off. I'm forsaking my Lord now. What about you tonight, Christian? Where do you find yourself? If you're on this downward path of denial here, you can stop, amen? You can stop before you face destruction, and you can make things right. Confess and repent. What is it in your life that is causing you to find yourself the way you are? You see the way that you want to be, or the way that you could be, or maybe even the way that you used to be, Peter, but you're not there right now, so why not? And what needs to change? The Bible says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He realized You know what it said first before it said that in the text over there in Luke? It said, in almost all the other passages, he remembered the word of the Lord. Listen, right now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you start hearing the word and you remember the word of the Lord and his great love for you and how he sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary to save you from your sins and to give you a new life in Christ, and you remember those things and how good he's been to you, maybe you too will go out and weep bitterly for what you've done. Repent. Amen? That's all it takes. And you can be in a right relationship with God. And you know what happened? Peter eventually became a changed man. He became a very strong leader in the church and a great proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. But this part of his life is what we examine tonight. So what about you? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a time of invitation. As our song leader comes forward. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you can teach us and instruct us. Lord, this passage here has much truth to it. And Father, I just pray that we have gleaned some of it this evening. Father, all of us can say that we're not where we should be or where we could be because there's so much more that we could be doing for you. Father, help us to get back on the straight and narrow, that we find ourselves not in this downward spiral to destruction. Father, help us. Show us where we're wrong. Let us remember the word of the Lord. Let us remember your goodness and mercy that you've shown us. And may the goodness of our God lead us to repentance. Father, I pray that you would challenge us to see where we can change. And Lord, that we would take heed to the warning this night. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We'll have a time of invitation. Brother, what song we have?
Page 380, the red hymnal. Page 380.
If God has spoken.